been Chris on Space to Ground 2. 2.237 is complete. All the valves are checked, and I did not make any valve position changes. Just wanted to make sure that was expected and what you were looking for.
Good news. That's exactly what they were expecting.
Perfect. Thank you.
Huntsville Station, good morning. Jack's on 2. I've got lab cam 2 set up. You welcome on board for Cal starts.
Good morning, Jack, and we are ready to get started. We will have your PD, Jessica, enabled on Space to Ground 3 shortly, and we are working around the video.
All right, Jessica will be on 3, and I'll switch over there. Thanks.
Send station on 2 for SSCs.
Go ahead on 2.
Hey, Luca. Yesterday, we had a question in the evening GPC. We had previously relocated SSC 7 and 4 from the aft end of the lab to the forward end of the lab to the Cal location where Jack's working right now for some fiber optic cable inspections. Subsequently, SSCs 4 and 7 were moved to the cupola in order to support the SpaceX cargo docking activities. And we asked yesterday about whether or not the power chains and Ethernet cables should be kind of rerouted back to their original lab aft locations. The answer was yes, so I just took care of that right now. I moved the laptop desks and the cabling, but I wanted to make sure you guys were tracking because there was some real-time changes that were made for those SSCs 4 and 7 during the Cal activities. So if you're ready to copy the whole chain that I just did, I just wanted to give it to you guys to make sure that we're all in sync.
Hey, Jessica, we appreciate that. Pluto is not here yet, but I'll take a note, and then we will pass it on when they arrive.
Okay, awesome. So basically, SSC4 is on its original Ethernet cable and power chain, so nothing changed there. We were able to keep the original. They were long enough to just move a couple days over. So SSC4 is currently not there, but when it gets moved back to the lab, it has its Ethernet routing and power cable ready. There's a 5-meter Ethernet cable, 1014, and there is a ZBook power cable, 1012, which attaches to Cobalt Brick 1321, and that is all on a laptop desk ready to be inserted back in SSC4 after the cargo ops. Then SSC7, for that one, in order to, it could not reach, its Ethernet cable could not reach, so we actually got your Ethernet cable out, a 5-meter cable, and that one I just disconnected from Brown Charlie 2 Ethernet hub in the lab. I'm going to restow that, so I do need a still location for this Ethernet cable. I think I know where it goes in node 1, but there was a little bit of a discrepancy when we were getting these out, so I just wanted to check with you guys. But I'll be ready to stow that. And then ZBook power cable serial number 1128, I believe this one I moved from SSC7. I had disconnected it from its cobalt brick and brought it over there because there was a free cobalt brick, 1318. That one was free, and it's still free now, so it's over near, in between port 1 and port 2 in the lab. And the one question I have that maybe you'll have to wait for Pluto for, I thought that I just disconnected this ZBook power cable from a cobalt brick that was very close to this location where we have SSC7, which is at port 6. And I can't quite seem to find the empty cobalt brick. I don't know if it's been repurposed or something else or not, but I need a cobalt brick location to plug in ZBook power cable 1128 for SSC7 when it comes back to its home.
Jessica, one question before I pass it on. So you said that Cobalt Brick 1318 is currently free, but it's not available for 1128?
It's at the other end of the lab. So we used that one when we had it over there for Cal, but it will not work for the port 6 location. It's at port 1.
I see. So the 1318 is on the other side of the lab, so it's not available right now. You need something closer to port six, for you to be able to plug the ZBook cable 1128.
Yeah, and there was something here because when I did that real time for Cal, I just disconnected the power cable and then plugged it in over there, if I'm recalling correctly. But now I don't see that cobalt brick, so I'm not sure if I'm dismissing it or if it was taken by something else.
Jess, we copy your question. Well, we copy your report for SSC4. For SSC7, we copy your question. I'm going to pass it on to Pluto that basically you need a cobalt brick near port 6 for ZBook power cable 1128 for when SSC7 gets posted there.
Yep, and I'm going to leave all the stuff like right on the laptop desk so it'll be very obvious for whomever has the activity to connect them all. But yes, so they'll be ready to go. No rush until that move is happening, of course. And then I also need that stowage location for the Ethernet cable.
Copy, Jessica. You need a storage location for the Ethernet cable. Do you have a number and a length for that Ethernet cable? You might have said it and I missed it, but we'll pass it on, and then ISO, once they come in, we'll be able to help.
It's a 5-meter Ethernet cable, serial number 1007, and that was one, again, that I had taken in order to use SSC7 over at the port 2 location.
Copy all.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, that was perfect.
Let's fill station on 2 for Centrifuge.
Good morning, Jessica. We are with you on 2. Go ahead.
Good morning. Just double-checking I'm interpreting this correctly. I should be doing all this with LSG still in the stowed location, correct?
Affirm. We are expecting it to be done while stowed.
Okay, copy. And I've got JumpCam 2 up if you want to follow along.
Copy, and we are with you.
And fill station on 2 for Center Beach.
And we're with you on 2, about 40 seconds to a handover.
The GFCI cable I have is serial number 1042. The LED is kind of flickering instead of being solid green. I know that we've had a problem with some of these. I'm assuming this one was not marked suspect, so I'm assuming it's okay, but just wanted to let you know.
And we copy.
Station Houston on 2 for any available crew member.
Hi, Luca.
Hey, Jessica. Just a communication. Due to the Norse repress that's ongoing on today, for the next 2 hours until 11:10 GMT, you will be down hardline 02.
Okay, copy. Down hardline 02 for those activities. Thanks for letting us know.
Station Huntsville on 2 for any available crew and laptop assist.
Got on 2.
Hey, Jessica. We are looking for a hard power cycle of Express Rack Laptop 2. That should be near Lab Overhead 1.
Hey, copy. Hard boot of Express Rack Laptop 2 near Lab Overhead 1. I'll do that now.
Much appreciated.
No problem. Houston Station on 2 for Ethernet cable.
Go ahead on 2.
Hey, Luca, I was remembering that I got that 5-meter Ethernet cable 1007 out of Node 1 overhead for Golf, so I am happy to put it back there if you guys agree with that location, or can just wait if you prefer.
Hey, Jessica, we like your plan to just put it back. We let ISO know, and then they'll adjust accordingly.
Hey, sounds good. That's where I'll put it then. Thanks. Then station on 2 for SSC7 cable. Houston Station on 2 for SSC7 cables.
Go ahead, Jessica.
Hey, Luca, just to correct some of the stuff that I reported in earlier, we did find the free power cable for SSC7. So there is a power cable here at the original port 6 location. It's serial number 1035. So I've left that one pre-positioned for SSC7. The one that I removed, 1128, which was on the cobalt brick, I think it was 1318 over at port 2. That one I have in my hand now. So basically, it had been on that cobalt brick over at port 2, just not plugged into anything. So I can either put it back over there, but I don't think we have any plans for anything right there, so I would suggest instead that we just stow that one, but we can wait for an answer on that one.
So, Jessica, let me recap. The 1128, there was a 1318 port 2. That one you're holding in your hands right now. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And the other one, it's got its own cobalt brick. 1035?
It does, yeah. I never removed it. I couldn't remember if I had removed the cable or just detached it and detached it from the cobalt brick. And I think this is the one. There's a free end right here, so it makes sense. 1035 is plugged into a cobalt brick, and it doesn't have anything on the other end. It's cobalt brick 1322.
Copy all.
Phoenix Station, Sufjan 2 for Astrobuy.
And Munich is Sufjan 2.
Okay, so I just did the whole recording of Astrobuy that was requested. The only thing is that the Astrobuy Epsilon batch, there is light blue and dark blue, and when I use the camera to film it, we don't see any difference, and we really don't see this. So I was wondering if the brightness of the dark blue could be adjusted, or simply the light blue could be removed, because it's literally unreadable from here.
And Sophie, we are checking.
Thank you.
And Station Munich on Spacecon 2 for Sophie and Astropy.
Please move on to.
Hey Sophie, we need a couple of minutes to see our options to remove some of the colors for Astropy. So in the meantime, you could go ahead and start already the granular sound activity.
I will do that. Thank you. Also, if you want to route machine 1 or 2, I can show you on the screen what the problem is.
And Munich copies. The ground team understood the issue there. Just checking how to resolve it.
The camera, we cannot make a difference at all. And so we see just a whole bunch of same blue things.
And Station Munich for Sophie at your convenience. So the ground team understands the issue. They're just checking if they can change some of the colors to green. And in the meantime, you can continue with granular sound.
Copy, continuing granular sound. Munich Station, Sophie and 2 for granular sound.
And Munich is with you on 2. Go ahead.
Yeah, so everything matches. Just a quick question. The SUP LAN adapter stays connected to the rack. So that's my first question. And second question, on granular sound, we also have the power cable that is connected. So only it's connected only on one side, the side that is on granular sound. So this is my second question. Do we leave the power cable connected on granular sound? And the third question is, since it's going to be trashed and it takes a lot of volume, as well as the core ISS, would it be possible to organize an activity so that we put these in Cygnus? Because those two, they don't fit inside the JSB, so they would have to go into Cygnus without JSB. And yeah, I was wondering if we could plan this before SpaceX 34 arrival. Just to save some volume and space in here.
And Sophie, we are checking. Station Munich on Space to Ground 2 for Sophie, and there's three questions.
What do you want to?
So regarding the LAN adapter shall stay on the rack front connected. The power cable shall also stay connected to granular sound. And regarding the trash question, we are working on activity, however, only for early next week.
Okay, great. That's I copy all, and I leave all the cable connections, and trash activity will be earlier next week. That's already great. Thank you.
And Sophie, while I have you, you can also go ahead and continue working on Astropy imagery, as we still need a couple of minutes to troubleshoot the brightening and color issue.
Copy. Also, I already recorded the messages, and so right now the only thing left is to go ahead and take some more pictures and videos with a close-up. And this is the problematic part, the close-up part. So just wait in on your go, and no worries, I will do some other tasks that were due today for me, so no worries.
And many copies. Thank you. in stage in Munich on Space to Ground 2, falls with Fee and Good News on Alpha Pi.
Fee's with you on 2.
So, Sophie, we were faster than expected, so the ground team has actually troubleshooted and changed the light blue to green, and we hope this looks now way better, so you can go ahead and repeat the activity.
Okay, let me go ahead and check. Thank you.
Houston, Chris on 2 for Stowe's reconfig question.
Hey, Chris, go ahead on 2.
Hey, Luca, I was looking at the execute node for my task, and it says that I'm going to be putting 3 NORS tanks in GEM, but that each NORS tank needs 7 bungees. I think, I don't know if we have 21 bungees available on station. I just wanted to double check on that. I think I can get them very firmly secure with far less than that, and wanted to just make sure that's okay.
Hey, Chris, I copy that. That's an egregious amount of bungees to use on the North Tank. So we'll go ahead and do your best to secure those North Tanks, and then maybe pictures and photos will help go for a case where less than 21 bungees are required.
Yeah, copy that. Yeah, I definitely understand the spirit of the intent and can make sure that they're nice and well secured, and we'll send some pictures down. Thank you.
Thank you. Station Houston on 2 for an available crew member.
Hey, Pion 2.
Hey, Chris, we caught on video an image of a lens in lab port 5, 6, oh, sorry, starboard 5 or 6 free-floating.
All right, we'll put our eyes on the lens. Thank you for catching that.
That's the one. Thanks, Jess.
Phoenix Station, Sophie and 2 for AstroFi.
Munich is with you on 2.
Thank you very much for the reactivity of the teams for reprogramming the AstroFi. It works, and so now I'm going to be downlinking all the videos. But thanks a lot to everyone. Mission success.
And mini copies, thank you. Great work. And while I have you, Sophie, just a quick check. The AstroPi imagery, did you perform this as well, as it's on a different AstroPi called AR?
Again, please.
We were just checking if you also performed the AstroPi imagery activity at 10:55, as we were not sure it was clear to you.
So what I did in the activity, I did take some pictures of both, so I did place them together on a mobile desktop close to each other, and they are both in the video, but maybe I will do some other videos of the AstroPi IR.
It's the same unique copies, we are just checking for a second.
Copies, yeah, let me know if you want only the IR in the field of view, because it will require a little bit of adjustment here, because I had the ESA flag behind and kind of a nice setup to have everything all together on one video, but let me know.
Houston, Chris on 2 for Stowage.
Go ahead on 2, Chris.
Hey, Luca, I'm not sure if you have an ISO on yet, but the Stowage relocate I'm going to be doing into Cygnus is probably going to block up the Cygnus corridor, and I just wanted to ask if we happened to know if there are any items from Cygnus that we are going to be needing anytime soon, particularly from the deeper bay, and so it'll just help me figure out how to arrange things and whether there's anything I should pull forward before stopping up the corridor.
Hey, Chris, that's an excellent question. We're going to need some time to check on that.
Okay, no worries. Yeah, I'll work on the North Tanks, and it's not a big deal if we have to stop it up and then unpack it. I just figured I'd try to optimize our efficiency. Thank you.
And Station Munich on Spacecon 2 for the C and AstroPi.
This is with you on 2.
Sophie, so we could not reach ESA Education at this point as it's a bridging day, so we would appreciate if you can still take some pictures and videos of AstroPi IR only.
Okay, yeah, I was hearing this, so I already prepared the whole setup with ESA flying behind and everything, so yeah, anticipated that. Thank you for checking.
Thanks so much for your work.
Oxfield Station Jackson 2 for Cold Mountain Labs, Stone Oaks.
With you on 2, Jack.
I'm in line 18 of the Stone Oaks. The ion pump controller and the attached controller adapter cable would not fit in CTV 5383, which is labeled cow number 1. It did fit, and I stowed it in CTV 5567, which is labeled cow number 3. And those are all in the JLP 1 Papa 2 Bravo 2 Charlie 2 slots in JLP.
And we copy all, Jack, and we're good with that config. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Station Houston on 2-4, Jack. Station Houston on 2-4, Jack.
Okay, Jack, on 2.
Hey, Jack, we are coming up on an LOS, so I wanted to give you a preemptive go on step 3 for your talk activity and also a go for your NORS activity.
A go in 3 in TOCA and go for the NORS activity. Thanks for looking ahead. I appreciate it.
Glad to help.
Houston, Chris on 2 with one more stowage question.
Go ahead on 2, Chris.
Quickly before the LOS, I know we have LSG ops, I think, on Monday. Are we planning on keeping these NORS tanks here while we're doing LSG ops? Need to think about how I stow them.
Hey, Chris, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that the plan is for everything that you're moving around is for SpaceX 34 staging, so it is safe to assume that Monday is going to be the same situation.
Okay, yeah, because putting these on JPM 5 and 6 in particular will definitely have some interference with LSG, so let me see if I can come up with something creative.
We would love pictures of everything you do, Chris.
I'll do that. Thank you.
Little station CM2 for Astrobank.
And Munich is with you on 2.
Munich station Sophie on 2 for Astrobank.
And Munich is with you on 2.
Well, I was wondering if you could run another program on Astrobank IR, because the screen became black and I still need to take some pictures, if it's possible, on your side.
And Sophie, we are checking.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris.
Chris is with N2.
Hey, Chris, coming back on your question about the bungees for the NORS tank, you have approval to use as few as 2 bungees. Try to wrap each bungee around the NORS as many times as you can in order to secure it as solidly as possible, and then let us have pictures so that we can have a look at them.
Okay, yeah, copy. I will secure it as well as I can with, I should be able to get at least 2 bungees on each tank. They're going to kind of have to be on their end a little bit. I hope it's okay. I just deployed the LSG foot restraints for now just to kind of see about.
Station Munich on SpaceX on 2 for Sophie and Astropy. So from ground, we can see some activities on the Astropy IR, so could you confirm that?
What I see is the screen of the Astropy is black.
I need a copy, so we will check after the KU LOS.
Copy.
Station Munich on SpaceX 2 for Sophie and Astropy. So, Sophie, we believe that there are like about 17,000 codes running at the same time, and some run without the screen, so our suggestion and way forward, just start the video recording for about the next 10 minutes and come back after these 10 minutes and stop it, and that would conclude this activity.
Copy. I'm just a little bit confused because right now there's nothing to show the video. It's black. Dark screen.
And we will monitor this from ground the next 5 to 10 minutes, so no action for you. Thank you.
Okay, so I understand. Oh, wait, I just saw one pixel showing up.
Station Houston on 2 for Curtis and Stowage.
Houston, Chris is with you on two.
Hey, Chris, thanks for getting back to us. So I still went ahead and looked a little bit at the choreography of today's stowage, and I think that there is a good reason for you not to move those bags into Cygnus that are going to block the corridor, because you will be going into Cygnus later on today. So we would recommend not moving those bags until later in the day. And for the north tanks, do your best to deconfigure, deconflict for LSG, and again, we might have to come back to you with a better plan later on, if you don't think that that's a good configuration.
Thanks, Luca. Copy all. And yeah, that's great. I will temp stow those 6.0s in the airlock for now. And there were also two 4.0s that I had to take out of Cygnus to get the Norse tank out. I will temp stow all of that in the airlock if that works for you guys, and then we can put it all back later in the day. And if you'd like, you can come on board with GemCam 2 and take a look and give me your thoughts as to whether this is an acceptable configuration. I think it will barely work with LSG ops, but please let me know if you guys have any suggestions or thoughts.
Chris, we're going to take the offer to come on board. We are on our way, and we are good with your temp stow location in airlock for now, and we'll keep monitoring any suggestions as you have.
Copy all. Thank you.
And for all crew member, Chris, if you can pass it along, we are about to transition to Space to Ground 2 to our Russian colleagues, so we can all move to Space to Ground 3.
Houston, station on 2 for Norse tank stowage. One other question would be whether JPM Deck 1 or Deck 2 might be a better location. I mean, we think this might be workable, but if one of those is a better location, that might be preferred.
Hey, Chris, we are transitioning to Space to Ground 3 so that we can have the Russian colleagues use Space to Ground 2. I'll call you back on 3.
Я пошел к СГ-2 по проекту прибыл. Сейчас, Сергей, в СГ-2, я хорошо тебя слышу. Меня хорошо слышно в СГ-2?
Извините.
Как слышно в СГ-2, Сергей, меня? Я тебя хорошо в СГ-2 слышу.
Я слышу в СГ-2,
извините, на... Я понял. Сергей, приступалка никаких особенностей нет, работы по документации. Единственная просьба, по каждому шагу делать нам доклад по проверке пультов ПОВ, ПХО, в МИМ, чтобы мы понимали, где ты находишься, на каком этапе и каков результат. Ладно. До пятого шага включительно. Пятый – отдельная история.
Хорошо. Вопрос. Вопрос по пункту 2.3 и... По пункту 3.3, там в конце указано, что ГНШК надо отсоединить от пультов абонентов в ПХО и в МИМ-2. Я так понимаю, что этого делать не будем.
Уточню. Хватит, приступай когда к работе, то есть это у меня есть время, я уточню специалистов, надо ли это или нет. Может быть, это уже как бы элемент подготовки к ВКД. Пока работает по первому шагу и по второму до этого места, скажем.
Нет, у нас просто работает еще один два. Поэтому... Я так понимаю, это общая документация, общее указание. Подстыковать ГНШК, отстыковать ГНШК. То есть это к нашей ситуации может не относиться. Хорошо, я начну тогда, а потом по ходу дела уточним.
Хорошо, да.
Пашка МКС, канале СГ-2 по проверке пульта.
Включай в СГ-2, Сергей.
Николай, шаг первый выполнен.
Принято. Иди дальше на шаг второй. По поводу 2-3 пока нет ответа, Сергей. До него дойдешь, как раз выйдешь докладом, и, возможно, у меня будет уже ответ.
Субмосковы, СГ-2 по шагу 2.3.
отвечаю в SG-2, Сергей, значит, и в шаге 2.3, и в шаге 3.3 гарнитуры от пультов абонентов отстыковывать не надо.
Принял, не отстыковывает. По шагу 2.2 при нажатии контр...
Сергей, пропал куда-то, не слышно.
Да. При выполнении шага 2.2, кстати, контур ИП загораются красные светодиоды на индикаторах давления, но сами шкалы не появляются. Они появляются после переключения переключателя давления и нажатия кнопки справа от индикатора, то, что указано под звездочками.
Хорошо. Идем дальше на шаг 3.
СГ-2 по работе с пультами.
Два, Сергей.
Выполнил действие по шагу 3.
По шагу 3, Ctrl-IP, когда появляются световые шкалы? По нажатию или по кнопке справа вот от индикаторов?
По нажатию, как штатно прописано. Появляется и сигнализация, два красных огонька, выбраны шкалы, и индексы сами проявляются по нажатию Ctrl-IP.
Понятно. Ну, а в ПХО я правильно понял, что по Ctrl-IP световые индикаторы не появились в среднем положении, только вот по кнопке справа от индикаторов, как написано вот в звездочках. Правильно я понял, да?
Да, да. Да, так точно.
Хорошо, все ясно. Вот, ну что, тогда выполняй шаг 4, расстыковывай, и мы будем готовы к выдаче команды. Как расстыкуешь, нам доложат, что ты ожидаешь, что как бы, когда мы сделаем вызов на связь, там сирена по всей станции заводит. Полностью по шагу 5.
Хорошо.
Hey guys, expect a caution tone next few minutes. It's nominal, it's just a part of contract. Восток Москвы, СГ-2, по шагу пятому.
СГ-2, Сергей, я правильно понимаю, что по четвертому шагу ты серо-зимо привел в исходное, где стыковал, и готов к шагу пятому, правильно?
Да, так точно. Да, четвертый шаг выполнен, готов к шагу пятому.
Ну все, ожидай, сейчас мы будем командочку выдавать прямо сейчас.
Принято. Топ Москвы, МКС, канал СГ-2.
СГ-2.
Прошел сигнал вызов на связь штата. Вывел команду «Акнович».
Отлично. Все, будем считать, проверка пультов по ПХО и ВМИМ-2 успешно проведена. По поводу вот этого нюанса специалисты подумают, было это раньше, не было, впервые появилось, не впервые, по поводу контроля ИП, а так все штатно. Можем приступать тогда к проверке срабатывания КВД СПОВ ВМИМ-2 и СПОВ ПХО. Начнем с ВМИМ-2.
Принято. Перехожу к МИМ-2 и работаю по шагу 2.5. Москва, КС, канал СГ-2.
Отвечаю в СГ-2, Сергей.
Вот, Николай, я просто вопрос уточнить. По действиям в части 2.5, шаг 4, работа с клавтом РОПХО. Я шаг 4 выполнил, здесь РПХО закрыт, и действий РПХО запрета нету. Как бы он автоматически проходит, да, и мы дополнительно выдавать не надо.
Да, да, не надо. Вот по телеметрии видишь, что он есть. Не надо себе.
Да, принято. По шагу 2.5 все выполнил, по процедуре 2.5.
Идите, сейчас подожди, специалиста спросим. Сергей, подтверждаем, что все штатно по телеметрии у нас. Идем на шаг 2.6, срабатывание КВД с ПОВ ПХО. УЗИ во втором шаге есть. Считаю, что это УЗИ получено. Это как бы для параллельной работы, когда два человека проверяют, чтобы одновременно не проверять. Поэтому ты сегодня один последовательно работаешь. Поэтому работай сквозняком до конца.
Принято, спасибо. Сколько пресс в канале СГ-2 по проверке КВД?
Отвечаю в СГ-2. Сергей.
По 2.6 вопросов нет, все штатно.
Хорошо, Сергей, принято. Спасибо за работу, видишь, мы как ускорились. Так что работу выполнили. С СГ-2 уходим. Сейчас я коллегам скажу, что мы работу в СГ-2 закончили, уходим на СГ-1 тогда. Что, приятного аппетита.
Принято, хорошо. Приятного аппетита. Спасибо.
Сергей, минутку, подожди, пожалуйста.
Да, на связи, СГ-2.
Сергей, ну вот по телеметрии подтверждает, что все, и в ПХО тоже как бы все штатно. Что, еще раз спасибо за работу. Привет.
Ну, отлично. Да, спасибо. Ну, время, для информации, время срабатывания клапанов от выдачи команды до загорание транспарантов где-то примерно 4 секунды.
3 секунды. Хорошо, принято. Вот. И по поводу БПК. Ставили, не ставили?
Пока еще не подготовили, пока еще не ставили.
Хорошо, все, я понял. Ну, опишите тогда в кринолот. Время.
Да, хорошо, конечно. Спасибо.
Все, до связи.
Station Sophia 2 for Toka.
Go ahead on to Sophie.
I see the Toka is already finished and the results are displayed. Am I going to do the 5 minutes activity that is an hour ahead of schedule?
You are go.
Off you, and I will report everything in a crew note. Houston Station Sophia 2 for Cupola HEU.
Good afternoon, Sophie. You are go in step one of your Cupola ATU test.
Hey, go in the Cupola ATU test. And just as a heads up, there's nothing displayed, none of the channels, and even when I press PTT to wake the ATU up, nothing happens.
And we copy, Sophie. Do you see a darkened ATU panel?
I see the ATU panel is completely dark. When I press PTT, nothing happens. Not even the LED transmit lighting. So everything seems off OFS.
Houston copies. That is an unexpected configuration. Stand by. We're going to talk it.
And I just also disconnected the mic because I understand that I was supposed to do that by disconnecting the handheld mic from this.
And we copy. That is expected to disconnect the mic. And Sophie, Houston on 2. Houston is going to power cycle that ATU from the ground. No action for you. Just stand by.
Copy all. Houston from the station, I see the ATU seems to be alive.
Houston copies all. Good news.
Shall I select 2 on this ATU?
There is no additional configuration for you on this ATU right now. Stand by.
Appeal and take your time. The sunrise is amazing here.
For all USOS crew, we will be starting testing of caution and warning toads imminently. No response required. And for Sophie, let us know if you hear the tones coming from the Cupola ATU.
Okay, we'll go. And from Sophie, this last tone was only heard from Node 3 ATU and was not heard from Cupola ATU.
And Sophie, Houston copies all. We have some additional commanding to perform, so stand by for about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Station Houston on 2 for Sophie. We're about to move into step 3 to do another series of caution warning tones. Let us know if you if these are loud enough for you to hear from the Cupola, but we are not expecting to hear those from the Cupola ATU. And for all USOS crew, we'll be starting a test of another set of caution and warning tones. No response required.
Sophie copies, step 3. And from station, this first tone was loud enough from Node 3 ATU. We can hear it very well from the Cupola.
Houston copies, good news.
Houston station from Sophie, I understood that in step 3 there would be 3 tones. I heard only 1. Is that expected?
Good question, Sophie. Stand by 1. Sophie, Houston on 2.
Here on 2.
So the caution warning tone that we announced was at the lowest volume setting, and since you were able to hear it okay, we have confidence that you will also be able to hear the other tones, which would be louder. So with that, we are planning on concluding this, and you can move on with your timeline.
Okay, copy. That's great news, and that was a successful test. Just a quick question, though. Do you want me to put back the handheld mic connection on the ATU, on the Cupola ATU?
Affirm, Sophie. Please reconnect the handheld mic.
Copy. Reconnect it. Sophie from 2, just if it's okay for you, I stay on 2 because Jack is on the ARED and I have pulled the handheld mic from Note 3, and we have good config for Cupola ATU.
Houston copies, good config, stand by in the Cupola, and we will enunciate shortly.
Okay. Houston station, this tone was heard very well from the Cupola.
Houston copies, Sophie, and we will start our second and final round with a test warning tone.
Copy. Houston from station, Sophie in the Cupola, this tone was heard loud and clear too.
Houston copies, good news. Thank you for supporting that last minute.
Pleasure. And so am I going to reconnect the handheld mic in the Cupola?
You are go. Thank you again. We appreciate it.
No worries. And I appreciate all those things. Thank you.
Houston, station on 2 for switch.
Go ahead on 2.
Hey, Eric, we kind of talked with the crew and tried to decide on what needed the most attention for stowage. I was wondering if you guys had any answers. Chris had asked some questions earlier about whether or not there was anything that was deep in Cygnus that we thought we might need in the close proximity so that we could, you know, we haven't restowed the items to block that kind of corridor off, and then it'll be a little bit harder to get to. So for the stowage activity, I was wondering if there are any items, any answers for that.
We are checking.
Okay, and then the other thing that we were thinking to maybe prioritize, because we're not really sure what else we can do to maximize stowage right now. The other activities we had were, you know, still a nightmare up here, but we're in relatively good shape, as good as we can be. I had called down a few days ago about the lab P2 and overhead 2 area being extremely cluttered with lots of laptops and cables, and the way that the cables are currently routed is not really ideal. And I had mentioned that. I don't know if Huntsville was trying to make an activity for that, or if that's also something I could just do with a little bit of time that I have left.
Yep, and we certainly copy that note, and we will also be talking that today. We'll see if we can get you an answer by the end of the day. And sorry, we're checking on
okay,
the status.
Okay, great. Well, if you guys don't have any other...
I'll try to get you an answer shortly here.
Okay, that sounds good. Otherwise, I guess maybe I'll just check in with Chris and see where he is with his hatch seal work before I get into the hatch seal cover install. The pre-pack took a little bit. I ended up working longer on that, so I ate into half of the stowage management time anyway. But it was still stowage, so it's all the same.
Copy all. Station Houston on 2 for Jessica and stowage answers.
Right on 2. Sorry, didn't hear that call.
No worries. For Cygnus stowage, the only items we're tracking near term are both for activities today at about 1700, so that's Chris's ultrasound activity and Jack's battery R&R audit, both at about 1700. If you'd like, you can go ahead and pre-gather those items out of Cygnus, and then we are not actually tracking anything else out of Cygnus near term for the next few days, so that would open up that volume for y'all.
Okay, copy. The other question we had, we're just looking at timing. Chris has been doing an incredibly thorough job cleaning the hatches, so he's not yet through only cleaned while they're still clean, and then we can kind of see what time remains if we want to, you know, if then I switch over to doing some finishing the inspections, or if we'd rather just cover them and inspect more later.
You are absolutely reading our mind. We were thinking the exact same thing. So it's also a fair strategy to clean and then immediately install the seal at that point, but you're thinking exactly what we're thinking.
All right, love it when we're in sync. Thanks.
And just an update for lab port 2 and overhead 2. Huntsville is tracking that action, but we don't have any actions for you today for that.
Okay, copy.
And Sophie and 3 for A-Red, 2, sorry, for A-Red TTV.
We have a good view, Sophie.
That's great. So am I good to start the A-Red session?
You are go.
Thank you.
Station Houston on 2 for Jessica and a bunch of serial numbers.
You know what you're asking. I'm reading your mind. You want the serial numbers for those 1.0s?
Ooh, yeah. In StowTrack, there were 3 steps that had serial number steps, 4.01, 9.01, 10.01. That was one of them. But I've got another if you're ready to copy.
Yeah, I had those in a note, and I never copied them into crew note and StowTrack. So, yeah, I will get you those. What's the other thing?
We are just on the same wavelength today. The second for you is, as y'all install those hatch seal covers, y'all can just call down our crew note which seal number is in which location. That would help us track.
Hey, what's up?
Houston, Chris on 2, just to close the loop on the hatch inspections and cleaning.
Ready to copy.
Yeah, so I was able to get through the cleaning of the node 1 forward and aft in the lab aft hatch, but yeah, I ran out of time to do the rest. I think all the others should be a lot faster than those three, just because those three are the ones that get all the food stains on them, and you know, we're cleaning off 2 decades worth of dried coffee from within the little cracks. So I will move on to my other activities, but I'll see if I can, in my gray space, knock out the other ones. But yeah, I think we're all in sync and chatting with Jessica as well about where to install the covers, first priority.
And Houston copies all. Don't feel pressured to get it all done today. We will schedule follow-on if we don't finish it all today. And thank you for your thoroughness on getting everything clean. We know Node 1 can get a little gross sometimes.
Yeah, copy all. And, yeah, I figured since we are putting the covers on that we should put the bias on being thorough. And, I mean, you know, most of the time in the time that we have allocated for hatch cleaning, it's like doing a really quick vacuum of your car versus a deep detailing of it. And so I thought it made sense to do the deep detailing, deep cleaning before we cover it and hopefully keep it that way for the rest of the station.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris.
Houston Station on 2 for serial numbers.
Go ahead on 2.
Those serial numbers for the CTPs for the Dragon prepack should all be in SoTrack now.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
One other thing that I owe you.
Sorry, repeat your last, Jessica.
I wasn't sure if there was one other thing that I owed you. I think it was just for me to just give you the serial numbers, of course, for the which seal cover goes where, correct?
You've got it.
Station on 2 for Ultrasound 3.
We're with you on 2, Chris.
I am just getting set up. Columbus camcorder is powered on, and you are welcome on board, and I've got step 2 in work now.
We copy, and we have a good view.
Huntsville, Chris on 2 for ultrasound and stowage.
And Chris, sorry, we caught you right at the beginning of a 6-minute LOS. So in answer to your question, we are working location so that you don't have to restart those in Cygnus, and we'll get that to you as soon as we can.
That's awesome. Yeah, I figure I'm pretty sure some of it is going in the rack right above my head, so I figured why put it back and bring it back again, and I think some of it's also going in the drawers around here. So, I'm happy to store those in their final location so we can just empty this bag out. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Send station Sophie on 2 for ARED PTV.
With you on 2, go ahead.
Oh, I just finished my ARED PTV session and I turned off the camera. Let me know if you need anything else.
We don't need anything else. Thank you for your support.
Well, thank you for your support.
You send station checks on 2 for interim battery audit.
Ready to do a battery audit? Go ahead.
There appear to be 2 types of batteries here with different part numbers. One part number matches the Stonos. The other part number is very similar, but slightly different. It's 58038597.00. But it looks identical. It's a lithium battery with an assembled on the battery cap for the HRM. And then there's also a Ziploc bag with just a CR2025 battery in it without the HRM backing on it. I just want to make sure that these are all trash or just the one that matches the part number is trash.
We copy all, and we'll need a few minutes to double-check on all those other part numbers.
Houston Station on 2 for hatch seal covers.
Go ahead for hatch seal covers.
Finished with the 3 that Chris did the detailed and meticulous cleaning on, and then we were thinking that I should put the other ones on as well. I think I can finish that in the allotted time, but not obviously the full inspection and cleaning and hatch seal. So I guess unless you want us to prioritize inspecting and cleaning those first, I'll go ahead and put the rest of the covers on.
Stand by. We need to talk exactly how we want to tackle that.
Okay, standing by. So far, basically,
The node 1 aft and forward are cleaned and installed, and the lab aft is cleaned and installed. We still have the node 2 aft hatch cover on there from our earlier procedure, but that one obviously was not inspected and cleaned first.
Copy. Station Houston on 2 for jack and battery answer.
Houston, Jack's on 2 for battery.
Hey, Jack, you are go to trash all of the extra batteries that you found. We are only keeping the batteries that just arrived on Cygnus.
Okay, I'm trashing everything else, keeping the batteries that we have on Cygnus, and the one I'm swapping out from Cevis is one of the new batteries, right? I'm not taking one of the old batteries and putting it in before I trash it.
You have a good understanding.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Jessica, Houston, on 2 for hatch seal covers.
Right on 2.
So the Houston's preference is to go ahead and clean the hatch seals before we install the covers. The concern that we're addressing with that is if any FOD is sort of trapped between the two, we might get some grinding or something that could cause further damage. So our recommendation is that before installing each cover, we proceed with an inspection and cleaning. And looking at the timeline, it is okay if we end up deferring the two decal activities at around 1800 to prioritize getting more covers installed. How copy?
That sounds good. Yeah, I think like Chris was saying, I think the rest of the hatches will be a little bit faster to clean because he did the really bad ones. So I will continue with that. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Station Hunt on Station Ground 2 for Chris and ultrasound at your convenience.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris and the vacuum cleaner damage you noted.
Chris was with you on 2.
We just saw the vacuum cleaner float by with a good-looking guy attached to it. And we do have a spare hose available for you to do an R&R on that hose with damage if you're ready to copy a stowage location.
Yeah, I am ready to copy. We were just chatting. I think the Kapton repair is holding for now, so I don't think it's urgent. But, yeah, if we got a spare, we should probably replace it. And, yeah, it floated by with a great-looking guy, not a good-looking guy.
And I've been told to make sure that you are aware you are good-looking, too. That stowage location is going to be Node 3 Overhead 2 in a 1.0 CTB 5. 439, labeled AC dryvac accessories. You should find two spare hoses in there. We don't care which one, and you can trash the old one.
Copy that. Node 3 Overhead 2, 1.0, 5439, AC dryvac accessories. Dealer's choice of the two, and we'll trash the old one. Sounds great to me.
Sensation Jackson 2 for hatch seal cover storage.
With you on 2.
Got the one hatch seal cover remaining in the CTV after we've done all the hatches we are planning on doing. Is that what you guys are expecting? Is that a spare? And if so, where are we stowing it?
Checking.
Some discussion up here that we're saving it for node 1 forward when that hatch gets opened. So it might just be a stow for a little while until 34 arrives.
Yep, that's a good understanding, Jack, is that that last cover is going to go on node 2 forward. There's just not a vehicle right now, and the hatch is closed. So we think you all figured that out. And just double-confirming, y'all got the other 7 installed?
Other 7 are installed, and do you guys have a place for the node 1 forward hatch seal cover, or do you want us to just kind of temp stow it over there for the next couple of days? So then we're going to install it pretty soon.
We'll take a temp stow location. Just let us know where you put it. And, Jack, while I have you on 2, just checking on the status of Cygnus stowage, if y'all got all of those temp stowed bags put back into Cygnus at the end of the day? Perfect. Sounds awesome.
Oh, yes. Stage 2, RP1 load is complete.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us for SpaceX and NASA's live coverage of the launch of the 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission to the International Space Station.
Falcon 9 is standing ready on the launch pad at Space Launch Complex 40, just minutes away from liftoff at 6.05 p.m. Eastern from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station in Florida. Since 2012, Falcon 9 and Dragon have delivered critical supplies and science experiments that help the crew conduct important research while in orbit. Today, we're carrying more than 6,000 pounds of cargo, food, equipment, and scientific investigations. I'm Ronnie Foreman, Director of the Rideshare Program here at SpaceX. Thanks for being with us tonight. At just about T-minus 19 minutes and 19 seconds, the vehicle is currently on track for an on-time liftoff. Like every Dragon mission headed to the station, we are working with an instantaneous launch window today. If we enter a hold at any point from here through our target T0 time, we'll scrub and then come back for our next opportunity on Saturday, May 16th at 5:43 p.m. Eastern. That's because the International Space Station is moving at over 17,000 miles per hour in its orbit right now. To get Dragon on the most efficient path for rendezvous and docking, we need to lift off at the exact moment that the station's orbital plane lines up directly over Space Launch Complex 40, which we have a great wide shot of on your screen right now. That alignment only happens for a split second for each launch attempt. If you were with us on Wednesday, you know we called off our launch attempt because of weather constraints, but conditions today are looking a lot better, and weather is tracking 95% favorable for our target liftoff time. We started loading propellants onto the rocket on schedule at about T-minus 35 minutes, and we'll keep hearing updates from Mission Control as prop load continues. While we keep working through the countdown, I'm going to hand it over to NASA's Joseph Sekcheski, who is joining us from NASA Johnson Space Center in Houston, for more info on how our station crew is preparing for this delivery. Hey, Joseph. Happy Friday.
Hello, Ronnie. It's great to be back with you today, and we are coming to you from the International Space Station Flight Control Room here at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. This is the heart of mission operations, staffed 24/7 to ensure the health, safety, and success of the orbiting laboratory, and it's especially a dynamic and exciting environment during a launch like today's. As you noted, teams keep an eye on the weather as it played a factor the last two launch attempts, but it's great to hear that we are 95% go, and that takes us right into this evening's opportunity. Right now, flight controllers led by Flight Director Greg Whitney and the Discovery flight team are monitoring all station systems as we get ready to receive new cargo and science. And as Ronnie mentioned, the Dragon is on its way to the International Space Station. Teams here in Houston are working seamlessly with colleagues at Hawthorne and SpaceX in California and the launch team in Florida to keep every piece of this operation in sync. And it's that kind of coordination across multiple locations, timelines, and...
Awesome. Thanks so much, Joseph. The Falcon 9 rocket supporting today's mission is a two-stage rocket designed and manufactured by SpaceX for the reliable and safe transport of people and payloads into Earth orbit and beyond. Falcon 9 is also the world's first orbital-class reusable rocket. At the very top of Falcon 9 today, of course, is our Dragon spacecraft. Dragon has 16 Draco thrusters that can be used in space to help position the spacecraft and navigate it to its final destination, each providing about 90 pounds of force. Dragon is the first private spacecraft to take humans to the International Space Station. It's flown 300,000 pounds of cargo and more than 1,000 experiments to space to date. All in, Dragon has been to orbit 55 times, visited the space station 50 times, and has flown 20 human spaceflight missions for 78 crew members, representing a total of 20 countries. Just beneath Dragon is the second stage, powered by a single Merlin vacuum, or MVAC, engine. With its extended nozzle and optimized design, MVAC drives maximum performance in the vacuum of space, producing 220,000 pounds of thrust. Below the second stage is the black carbon fiber interstage, and inside of that is where the MVAC engine skirt is located. The largest portion of Falcon 9 is the first stage, or the booster. The first stage supporting today's mission is making its sixth trip to space, having previously launched KF-1, IMAP, NROL-77, GPS-39, and one Starlink mission. About 2.5 minutes into flight, the first stage will separate and make its way back to Earth. Today, our booster is headed back to land at Landing Zone 40 at Cape Canaveral Space Force Station, which is just a little ways away from our launch pad. You can see it behind Dragon on the left-hand side of your screen right there. So now while our countdown continues, I'm going to head back over to Joseph in Houston. Joseph?
Thank you very much, Ronnie. And yes, we continue to follow along as we are just a little more than 13 minutes away from T-minus zero to see NASA's SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission get underway as we continue to monitor the fueling of the rocket. Well, continuing scientific discovery aboard the International Space Station is enabled by missions like today. And as you mentioned, Dragon is carrying over 6,000 pounds of cargo, including critical science hardware and samples. The science aboard Dragon represents months and in some cases years of preparation by dedicated scientists and engineers. And here are some of the highlights of what's inside Dragon today. The Odyssey research investigation evaluates how well Earth-based microgravity simulators recreate space conditions. Researchers will examine bacterial behavior in space and compare the results to experiments conducted in microgravity simulators on Earth. Another investigation we're looking forward to learning more about is STORY. The story behind STORY is an instrument that monitors charged particles in orbit around the Earth. These particles respond to space weather and can impact human assets like power grids and satellites. STORY. Now, as we get closer to liftoff, let's check back in with our colleagues in Hawthorne and Ronnie Foreman.
Everything is still looking great here on the mission control side of things for SpaceX. Right now, we are standing by just about 10 and a half minutes until our liftoff for a couple of key call-outs from Mission Control and visual indicators that we are getting ever closer to liftoff. At about T-minus 7 minutes, you'll hear a call-out for engine chill. That's when we'll open the engine pre-valves and start passing just a trickle of liquid oxygen through the Merlin engine pumps, chilling those engines down to the start sequence. We do that because the super chilled and densified liquid oxygen is really, really cold. And we use that process to bring all of the engine hardware down to a cooler temperature before flowing all of the LOX and RP-1 into it during flight. Engine chill specifically helps to prevent thermal shock and ensures nominal engine performance on liftoff and all the way through ascent. We're going to keep listening in for all of these updates from Mission Control, but in the meantime, let's check back in with NASA again. Joseph?
Thank you, Ronnie. Greatly appreciate it. And yes, certainly looking forward to it as we're now approaching 9.5 minutes until liftoff of NASA SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission heading towards the International Space Station, which is the perfect opportunity to introduce you to the Expedition 74 crew. And we mentioned earlier that includes NASA astronauts Chris Williams, Jess Kamir, and Jack Hathaway. They're also joined alongside by Roscosmos cosmonauts Sergei Kudsverchkov, who is the station commander, Sergei Mikhaev, and Andrei Fedyaev. Also joining them on board the International Space Station is ESA astronaut, or European Space Agency astronaut, Sophie Adno. Now, on tap for docking as the Dragon spacecraft makes its way closer and closer to station, it will be Hathaway of NASA and Adno of ESA that will be monitoring the Dragon spacecraft as it gets closer and closer to the orbiting laboratory. Now, for Chris Williams, Sergei Kudsverchkov, and Sergei Mikhaev, they would arrive on station last November on Thanksgiving, November 27th, and are now entering or moving through their 169th day in space. And for Jessica Meir, Jack Hathaway, Sophie Adno, and Andrei Fedyaev, they would launch back on February 13th aboard Dragon Freedom as a part of Crew 12 and are moving through their 91st day in space. Well, as we get closer and closer to engine tilt, taking a look at the updated fueling, it looks like Stage 1 RP-1 load is about to wrap up, about 90% of the way there for the liquid oxygen of the first stage, and about 60% for the stage 2 liquid oxygen. But for now, as we get closer and closer to, as Ronnie mentioned, engine chill, and we continue to progress in the countdown, now reaching 8 minutes to go until liftoff. Back to Ronnie Foreman in Hawthorne.
So as I mentioned earlier, now we are standing by for some of those key call-outs and visual indicators that we are getting closer to our T0 time. The next major visual milestone we're going to get is actually about the transporter erector, which is the tall truss structure standing to the side of Falcon 9. You've got a view of it there on the right-hand side of your screen, and again, we have LV-40 over there on the left. Those two clamp arms up at the base of Stage 2 are used to stabilize Falcon 9 during our propellant loading, which again began at about T-minus 35 minutes. The TE, which again is that large truss piece on the right-hand side, is used both to roll Falcon 9 out to the pad and then raise it into the vertical launch position. It stays connected through the final seconds of the launch countdown. We will see those stabilizing clamp arms open up around the second stage.
The chill has started.
At about T minus 4 minutes and 17 seconds. But there we did just get that announcement from Mission Control that engine chill has begun. Fun fact, the super chilled liquid oxygen on board Falcon 9 is at about 300 degrees below zero. Everything is still looking good for an on-time liftoff just under 6.5 minutes from now, and we are still tracking 95%.
Stage 1, RP1 load is complete.
95% favorable launch weather conditions at our T0 time, and we did just hear the confirmation that RP1, or Rocket Propellant 1, has been fully loaded onto Stage 1. Right now, we are just about 2 minutes away from those clamp arms opening up around the second stage. As I mentioned before, those clamps help to stabilize the rocket during fueling. They also prevent movement in high winds, but once they're open, the rocket will be fully free at the top. Then we will also hear that key call out from Mission Control that our tanks are pressurizing for strong back retract, which is one of the things that helps Falcon 9 stand freely on the pad. When we do see those clamp arms start to open up, that'll take about 15 seconds for them to fully move away from Falcon 9, and then our strong back will also retract slightly. At our liftoff time, though, the strong back will kick back a full 45 degrees away from Falcon 9, enabling it to clear the launch pad.
Falcon 9 tanks are pressing for the start of strong back retract.
There's that confirmation that Falcon 9 is getting ready for strong back retraction. A really great view of those hypersonic grid fins at the base of the inner stage on your screen right now. Those are the primary mechanical...
Gavin is in terminal count and is on internal power.
There's confirmation that our system is on internal power.
Power has started.
And we are heading into the final 5 minutes before liftoff. There you can see those clamp arms starting to open up. And we should see some movement from the TE shortly.
Now, a little more than 3 minutes to go before liftoff. Wishing to report the range is also green to support today's launch. Now, if for some reason we do not launch today, we do have a backup opportunity. That'll be tomorrow, Saturday, May 16th at 5:43 p.m. Eastern Time. But right now, all systems tracking well as we continue to monitor the final progress of fueling and getting ready for liftoff.
We're going to continue listening in over the countdown net, and the next thing we're expecting is Stage 1 LOX load complete.
Stage 1 LOX load is complete.
Right on schedule. The second stage should now finish up about a minute after that. Our tanks are also pressurized using helium. That helium is chilled, too, so that it stays compatible with the cryogenic plumbing on board Falcon 9. During flight, that helium pressurization helps force propellant into the engines as the tanks empty. In these last few minutes, Falcon 9 is performing final health checks on its primary communications, avionics, and propulsion systems in preparation for flight. We may hear some more call-outs that the engines are sufficiently chilled as we get a little closer to liftoff. And again, we are standing by for another fuel loading completion call in about 20 seconds.
And around this time, the second stage thrust vector control actuators are being tested and checked out. And this is when SpaceX moves the nozzle ever so slightly to make sure that guidance hardware is acceptable for flight. In about 2 minutes, at the time of launch, the International Space Station will be flying some 260 miles off the southern coast of Australia as we hear that Stage 2 LOX load is complete and Falcon 9 is now fully fueled. The first and second stages are now fully loaded with over 1 million pounds of rocket-grade
auto-idle.
Rocket-grade kerosene is now Dragon moving into auto-idle. coming up on a minute and a half left in the countdown. Now, auto-idle puts the rocket in a state that the flight computers can understand before it takes off.
Now we are standing by for the T-minus 60-second call-out that Falcon 9 has entered startup mode. At that point, the rocket's onboard flight computers will have taken over. From there on out, the countdown will be fully autonomous.
Falcon 9 has entered startup.
There's
Dragon is in countdown.
Confirmation of startup mode for Falcon 9 and countdown for Dragon. Our last milestone here is that our launch director calls go for liftoff.
LD, go for launch.
There we have it. Just inside of T-minus 2 seconds, the nine Merlin 1D engines on the Falcon 9 first stage will ignite. Once they're at full power, Falcon 9 will lift off the pad and begin its climb to orbit.
T-minus 30 seconds.
Listen in for these final 30 seconds.
T-minus 15 seconds. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ignition, and liftoff. Go Falcon, go Dragon, and go CRS-34.
And liftoff. NASA's SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission, carrying over 6,500 pounds of cargo and supplies, is on its way to the International Space Station.
Everything is looking good on board Falcon 9 and with our Dragon spacecraft. We heard those call-outs from Mission Control that the rocket is pitching downrange and that all nine Merlin engines continue to perform well. We're just about to throttle down the engines to prepare for Max-Q, the point of maximum aerodynamic pressure during ascent. Max-Q happens when the combination of speed and air pressure puts the greatest stress on the vehicle. And with that call-out from Mission Control, we know that Falcon 9 is moving faster than the speed of sound.
Max-Q.
There's that call-out for Max-Q. Now coming up, there are going to be several major events that happen back-to-back really quickly. Main engine cutoff, stage separation, first stage flip, second engine start, and boostback burn start. Main engine cutoff will likely be called out as MECO. That's when all nine engines on the first stage shut down. That'll be followed by stage
separation.
There's that call-out for MVAC chill onboard the second stage. Of course, before we can start the second stage, we do have to separate those two stages. The first and second stage will be separated and pushed apart from one another when we hear the call-out for stage step. Then the first stage will flip around using small thrusters so it can head back to Earth. A few seconds later, we'll light that second stage MVAC engine and continue pushing Dragon to orbit. After all of that is done, the first stage will perform its boostback burn to steer itself back toward the landing site.
Main engine cutoff.
Stage separation confirmed.
Sim-back startup.
Great views on your screen there as you heard and hopefully saw all of those key events taking place. Main engine cutoff, stage separation, stage one flip, which is happening on the left-hand side of your screen, second engine start on the right-hand side of your screen, and the beginning of our boostback burn. Now, coming up shortly, we should hear the call-out for completion of the boostback burn on the first stage. This burn helps to steer the booster back toward the landing site and is the first of three burns the first stage performs on its return to LZ-40 at Cape Canaveral Spaceport Station. We are expecting that call out in just about 5 seconds.
Stage one boostback shutdown.
And once again, thank you for joining us as you continue to follow along with NASA's SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission. Now 3 minutes and a little more than a half into today's flight. Takes about 9.5 minutes to get into orbit and all set as Dragon on the right-hand side with that Merlin MVAC engine on the right. Continue its chase to the orbiting laboratory, and there you can see that stage one making its return back to Earth on the left-hand side. We had an on-time liftoff at 6.05 p.m. Eastern Time from Space Launch Complex 40 at Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. Now, in order to make the left side, Stage 1, make its return back to Earth, a couple things have to happen. Two more burns to execute. The entry burn, where three of the Merlin engines will reignite, and this helps slow the stage down as it re-enters the upper part of Earth's atmosphere. And following the entry burn, the booster will go through its landing burn. And this is a single-engine burn that brings the vehicle speed down rapidly in order to land back on Earth. And we should be hearing those call-outs for that entry burn in just a couple of moments from now.
That's right, Joseph. We are standing by for our entry burn, which should we're expecting to begin at about T plus 6 minutes and 10 seconds. Now, during that entry burn, Falcon 9 is decelerating by firing its Merlin engine, but the vehicle is still moving really fast. This causes it to fly through Merlin's exhaust gases, which are also known as the rocket's plume. That deposits a layer of soot on the vehicle's surface, which is why our flight-proven rockets look the way that they do. The soot comes from the carbon-based fuel that Falcon 9 uses, and which, with each flight, that soot builds up a little more on the outside of the vehicle. We also heard that call out from Mission Control just a few moments ago that both vehicles are on nominal trajectories. You can follow the trajectories along at home in the bottom corners of your screen. We have Stage 1 on the left and Stage 2 on the right.
Now 5.5 minutes into flight, still a few more moments to go as we continue to follow along the path of NASA's SpaceX CRS 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission. And there you can see a great view of Stage 1 on the left-hand side. The grid fins that Ronnie brought up earlier in the broadcast just ahead of launch, Falcon 9 is equipped with four hypersonic grid fins, which are positioned near the top of the first stage and are used for steering as it returns to Earth, as you heard the start of that entry burn for the first stage. And those grid fins are a critical part of Falcon 9's reusability system. So entry burn just completed as it shut down. Now we'll look for that landing burn as it continues to make its return back to Earth, and it will begin its descent to landing zone 40 today. And on the right-hand side, continuing to track the path of the second stage, in which the Dragon cargo spacecraft on top of that second stage making its way into orbit. Now 6.5 minutes into today's flight. Now again, moments away from entry burn, we should see the Stage 1 light back up as it will rapidly decelerate in preparation for landing at landing zone 40.
Stage 1, FTS safe.
And milestones continuing to check off for the Stage 1 as it makes its return back to Earth. And we'll keep an ear out for that entry burn, startup and entry burn shutdown. And we should get some great visuals off the... So landing burn now underway, and that's the single engine that slows down Stage 1 rapidly ahead of touching down back on Earth off the Florida coastline.
Stage 1 landing confirmed.
And great visualizations there as Stage 1 has successfully returned back to landing zone 40. As now 7.5 minutes into today's flight, we still have about a minute to go, a little less than that for Stage 2. And there you can follow along the pathway, Stage 1. Its journey has completed.
My colleagues behind me, that is another successful landing of our Falcon 9 rocket. This was the sixth launch and landing for this first stage. Now coming up in just over 30 seconds, we should hear a call out for second engine cutoff 1, or SECO 1, which is when the MVAC engine onboard the second stage shuts down. That'll conclude the roughly 6-minute burn by this engine needed to get Dragon into the proper orbit to align with the International Space Station.
Stage 2, FTS safe. Stage 2, terminal guidance.
Just about 10 seconds until we should hear that SECO 1 call.
MVAC shutdown.
And then there's confirmation of MVAC shutdown onboard our second stage. Now we are just standing by for confirmation of a good orbital insertion.
Stage 2, nominal orbit insertion.
And we have confirmation there of a good orbit from Mission Control. The Stage 2 vehicle is now in coasting with Dragon attached, and we're about a minute away from spacecraft separation. And we're seeing a great view of that second stage. That Merlin vacuum engine has shut down, and we'll continue to await that separation for Dragon to continue its journey on towards the International Space Station, again carrying 6,500 pounds of critical cargo, science, and supplies to the orbiting laboratory. And a great visual there on your left hand.
We're getting some great views up in space as Dragon is slowly drifting away from our second stage, which you've got that full view of the MVAC engine on your screen right now. And we have confirmed spacecraft
Dragon
separation.
Confirmed.
Right on schedule. So just to recap today's mission so far, we did have an on-time liftoff at 6.05 p.m. Eastern Time. Everything proceeded nominally up to that point. At 2.5 minutes into flight, we saw separation of the first and second stages right on schedule, which was followed by the successful landing of Falcon 9's first stage at Landing Zone 40 at Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. At about T plus 8 minutes and 30 seconds, we had a successful second engine cutoff, or SECO 1, which was followed by confirmation of good orbital insertion. Dragon then successfully separated from the second stage, and we are now standing by for nose cone deployment. I'll be handing back over to Joseph at JSC to talk us through that milestone. Joseph, back to you.
Thank you very much, Ronnie. Great to work with you and the team again as we see another successful launch and the cargo resupply services mission, the 34th for NASA and SpaceX, heading towards the orbiting lab. And as you mentioned, we are monitoring the nose cone deploy on the tip of the Dragon spacecraft that'll hinge open. We just received note that the first set of hooks are opening up. We'll wait for the second set and then followed by the nose cone deploy. So once the nose cone is deployed, it will expose the four forward bulkhead Draco thrusters that will execute a series of maneuvers necessary to raise Dragon's orbit and meet up with the International Space Station. And this will be immediately after Dragon separates from Falcon 9, which we just saw, and it begins with what we call now the activation and rendezvous phase of the mission. During this phase, Dragon is configured for on-orbit operations and begins after separation of Dragon from Falcon 9 and will end with the completion of the final co-elliptic burn, one of five key burns that the spacecraft will perform in order to catch up to the orbiting laboratory. Now, our initial orbit today for the spacecraft is 190 kilometers by 210 kilometers, and with those numbers, that represents the perigee and apogee of the orbit, or the lowest and highest point over the Earth, as we are now 11 minutes and 45 seconds into today's mission. Now, with that initial orbit, it means that it isn't a perfect circle around the Earth, but more like a very slight ellipse. And now, over the next several hours, in fact, looking at the phasing for Dragon to catch up to the International Space Station, about 37 hours, one day, 12 hours, and 54 minutes, give or take, to track down the orbiting lab, with, again, a docking scheduled for early Sunday morning. And that will be around 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Central Time. Now, I alluded to there are five major burns that the Dragon spacecraft, or the firing of the Draco thrusters, will perform to catch up to the International Space Station. And those burns are the phase burn, boost burn, close burn, transfer, and co-elliptic burn, which we mentioned earlier, that final. And that's all for Dragon to not only climb up to, but catch up to the International Space Station. And there you can see the pathway of where Stage 1 and Stage 2 took to get Dragon into its initial orbit today, now approaching 13 minutes into today's mission. Now, if we can, let's transfer over to the mission control rooms as they are behind today's launch festivities. And you will see the teams both in Hawthorne and in Johnson Space Center. The team's here with me in Houston monitoring the orbiting laboratory but keeping a close eye on today's flight. And, of course, again, the team in Hawthorne and SpaceX operating today's launch. And there you can see on the right-hand side of your screen there, a look inside the International Space Station Flight Control Room as they continue to monitor the progress of the Dragon spacecraft. Now, again, we're continuing to monitor a nose cone deploy. The first set of hooks have opened. Now looking and keeping an eye on the second set, and we'll see the nose cone start to hopefully go in motion here shortly. And now you can see the SpaceX teams on the left-hand side approaching 14 minutes into today's mission. And then once nose cone is confirmed, we'll be joined on console here by Bill Spetch, International Space Station Operations and Integrations Manager, to go over today's missions, its importance to the orbiting laboratory, and what certainly has been a busy time for the International Space Station. Now, again, docking of the Dragon spacecraft is scheduled for 7 a.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, May 17th, 6 a.m. Central Time, and we'll have all the coverage right here on NASA Plus and all the NASA channels beginning at 5:30 a.m. Eastern, 4:30 a.m. Central. We'll continue to monitor Dragon again, awaiting a nose cone movement as the hooks have all opened up. Again, that nose cone located at the tip of the Dragon spacecraft, and now the nose cone is in movement, and we will see its first movements here shortly. Again, we thank you for following along. And now on screen, you can start to see daylight creeping in as that is inside of the Dragon spacecraft looking at the nose cone. It is opening up to expose that docking adapter, which will come into play again on Sunday morning with NASA astronauts Jack Hathaway and ESA astronaut Sophie Adnoh on tap to monitor docking to the International Space Station in those early morning hours. And a great visualization again of the nose cone opening, approaching about the halfway point in terms of being fully opened and exposed to the vacuum of space. Currently in their off-duty period right now and resting is the Expedition 74 crew, but they will snap into action once the Dragon spacecraft arrives to unpack the 6,500 pounds of cargo and supplies. NASA astronauts Jessica Meir, Jack Hathaway, and Chris Williams. We mentioned the ESA astronaut Sophie Adnoh and Roscosmos cosmonaut Sergei Kuzverchkov, the current station commander, Sergei Mikhaev, and Andrei Fedyaev. Temporary loss of visuals there on the nose cone, but it does continue to open up as we'll monitor as we just passed the halfway point. Teams on the left-hand side in Hawthorne, California, in SpaceX, and the team on the right here with me in the International Space Station Flight Control Room in Houston, Texas, continuing to follow along. We also mentioned there will be five key burns for the Dragon spacecraft to make as it begins its chase to the International Space Station. The first one will be the phase burn, which happens not too long after liftoff, in fact. That'll be a little bit later on this evening. And then the other four key burns with necessary adjustments will occur throughout Saturday and into Sunday. Nose cone now about 70% open as the teams here continuing to mull. Just over 17 minutes into today's mission after an on-time liftoff at 6.05 p.m. Eastern Time from Space Launch Complex 40 is NASA's SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission to the International Space Station, loaded up with 6,500 pounds of food, supplies, cargo, and hardware to the orbiting laboratory. And what has been a busy stretch of time, and it's always a busy stretch of time for the International Space Station, and we'll touch upon that with Bill Spetch here in just a moment, Operations and Integrations Manager. As the nose cone now nearly open, we'll stand by for confirmation. And as we await that confirmation, great views from Dragon, now over 18 minutes into today's flight. A successful liftoff, stage one. The sixth flight of the stage one booster made its way safely back to landing zone 40. Stage two carried Dragon the rest of the way. As again, we continue to stand by for confirmation of, And we just received confirmation that they were doing the Draco checkouts after nose cone deploy. And here inside of Mission Control, we just got a great call from our visiting vehicles officer that the nose cone has been deployed. The Draco thruster checkouts have been completed, and Dragon is now on its way to the International Space Station. So now that it's deployed and ready for its phasing burns to the orbiting laboratory with a successful orbital insertion, I'm now joined by Bill Spetch, the International Space Station Operations and Integrations Manager. Bill, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, it's great to be here again.
Bill, this Commercial Resupply Services mission that just launched, for you, what stands out about this mission and what it brings to the space station? We talked about the cargo and some of the science that's on board, but it packs a lot in that spacecraft to bring to the orbiting laboratory.
Yeah, it really does. CRS-34 is another great example of how the space station keeps driving science and technology forward. This mission is delivering new research, hardware, supplies, all the things that keep our crew healthy and the laboratory running. Every one of these cargo flights helps us test systems, study human health, and mature technologies that we'll need as we go deeper into space. It's a reminder that the ISS is still one of the most productive platforms we have for discovery.
And I've alluded to it a couple of times, but it's always a busy stretch of time for the International Space Station program. How would you describe the pace of operations that's been going on right now for the laboratory?
Yeah, the pace on ISS is always incredibly dynamic. We're supporting continuous crew operations, science experiments that are going on all the time, visiting vehicles coming and going, and various upgrades, all while preparing for the next phase of human spaceflight. The team is balancing day-to-day station operations with long-term planning, and it really shows the strength of our international partnership. Even as we celebrate milestones like CRS-34, the work really never stops on orbit.
And certainly does not. I know we had a chance to catch up with you during the pre-launch teleconference, and more to come. And for those following along, be sure to visit NASA.gov for that information. Well, Bill, Artemis 2, not too far back in terms of mission success and a major milestone for not only all programs here at NASA, but just for the agency overall. How is the International Space Station shaping Artemis and future missions beyond low Earth orbit?
Yeah, the International Space Station is really the foundation for everything that we do from Artemis and everything going forward. Everything we learned about long-duration missions, life support, crew health, autonomous operations, international teamwork, all of it comes directly from more than 25 years of continuous human presence on the station. Artemis II demonstrated deep space systems, but the confidence to send crews that far comes from the experience we've built in low Earth orbit. The station is where we test, refine, and prove the capabilities that will take us back to the moon. In fact, there were a number of hardware items that flew on Artemis that were tested on the ISS.
And again, the International Space Station, that foundational test bed to continue humanity's exploration further and further out into our solar system. Bill Spetch, it's great to see you. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
That was Bill Spetch, the International Space Station Operations and Integrations Manager. Thank you again so much for your time and joining the broadcast. Let's check back in with the team over in SpaceX. Ronnie?
Thanks, Joseph. As you mentioned, Dragon has now begun its journey toward the International Space Station, executing a series of phasing burns to gradually close the distance, with docking again targeting Sunday, May 17th at 7 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Central. We'd like to thank NASA for entrusting us with today's mission. SpaceX is honored to be part of NASA's Commercial Resupply Services Initiative. Congratulations again to the teams on another successful launch. To stay up to date with all of our upcoming missions here at SpaceX, please be sure to check out spacex.com/launches for schedules and follow SpaceX on X. That will do it for me here in Hawthorne today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Back to you, Joseph.
Thank you so much, Ronnie. As always, it's been a pleasure to team up with you and share this launch again with you and the teams over at SpaceX. And we hope you'll join us on NASA Plus, Amazon Prime, and more for our coverage of the final approach and docking of this Dragon spacecraft, again beginning at 5:30 a.m. Eastern on Sunday, May 17th, not too long from now, for a docking expected near 7 a.m. Eastern time. Visit NASA.gov for the latest updates on our coverage and expected docking times as we follow the operations throughout the next couple of days. With Dragon safely on its way to the International Space Station, that'll wrap up tonight's coverage of NASA and SpaceX's 34th Commercial Resupply Services launch. Thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you again on Sunday morning. Until next time, this is Mission Control Houston.